This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Doctor in the House, brought to you by AIA Vitality.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I am Mira Sivisovi and it's our Health and Living segment, Doctor in the House series. Dr. George Lee, consultant neurologist in the studio with us. Happy Chap Gourmet, George.
Yeah, happy Chap Gourmet indeed.
Yes, you're very traditional. Can you tell me a little bit more about Chap Gourmet and what it actually means?
Well, Chap Gourmet is Hokkien. Chap Gourmet means the 15th day of, the ninth of the 15th day. And then off Chinese New Year. And
so the night was last night or tonight?
The night of the 9th, or the 15 days. Okay. And then so this today, many Hokkien families, there will be a lot of prayer offerings and then going to the temples and then another excuse for a big feast really at night.
Okay, but you're not Hokkien, are you?
No, I am Hokkien.
Oh, you are?
That's right.
Well, what makes you think it's just the Hokkien people and not the others?
Well, it's because the name suggests it's Chap Gourmet. It's kind of like a very Hokkien thing. Okay. I can only speak for like kind of Hokkien family, and in Hokkien, just really during Chinese New Year, just want any excuses to have parties. Really,
see, I always thought it was just the ninth day that the Hokkien celebrate the New Year. Yeah. That's not the case.
No. Well, we have the Eve, and then which everyone's that has the reunion dinner the first day, and then go to the temple, and we have the seventh day, which the birthday of everyone, and then that's another big party.
Yeah,
and then the ninth day, which is massive. If you hear that firecracker, that's massive. That's called Pai Ti Gong.
Dogs usually suffer on that night.
That's right. Everyone else suffers as well. And essentially, that is like kind of like a big prayer for the where the heaven doors open and the king from the sky descends to do the blessing. So that's it. And then tonight is another kind of big night. And then most families will get together. Interesting thing is that all these kind of throwing the tangerine. Have you heard about
that? Yes, I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
One of the directors from BFM told me to throw oranges. And I said, for what?
For what?
Right.
You'll pass
for?
Yourself by day.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, you would imagine this kind of like it's tradition from like, southern China for years and years ago. But it's not. This was invented in Penang.
Oh, really?
That's right.
Like the Yisang in Seremban.
Correct, yeah. So this is a Malaysian thing that, traditionally in China, according to my mum, right, okay, the 15th night, a lot of families will bring kind of like eligible bachelorettes, so basically the maidens who are not married, to go to the temples, well-dressed, and also to walk down the streets with chaperone so that the bachelors will kind of keep an eye and see who will be the one they take their fancies, and then it's a night of courtship. It's a very romantic those days.
That's why they say it's a Chinese Valentine's.
Correct, yeah.
The 15th day.
That's right. And then the Penangites suddenly decided that what they want to do, probably about way back in the 18th century or so, and then started throwing the tangerine to the seas in the esplanade, in the promenade. And then now, the whole Penang seafront will probably be congested tonight with all these ladies throwing the tangerine, probably at each other.
You're so mean.
That's right. In order to fight for the bachelor.
Because Penang has got a lot of Hokkien people
Indeed, that's right. And then the traditions are very, very strictly followed. And then so it'll be, for those of you who are listening on the podcast in Penang, I'm sure you're having massive celebrations over there.
What about the tang yuan? That
the winter solstice
ball. Did glutinous ball? Do you actually do that for Chap Gourmet?
No. That's right. That's the winter solstice, and then that's basically end of the year. It's usually the longest the beginning of the end of the longest night of the year.
Okay.
So that's usually kind of like end of December.
Okay. So in view of Chap Gourmet being the
Chinese
Valentine's Day. Today we're going to be looking at the 20th anniversary of the blue pill, or sildenafil, it's called.
That's correct. Yeah.
So it's just going to be you and I on this show, and we're going to be discussing a few things about the 20 years of the blue pill. From the time it was, it came into existence, it was meant for the older man, especially to look at erectile dysfunction. That seems to be changing now because the generic version is now available. And what does that that mean
right.
for everybody else, right? But, you know, you've been working with the blue pill for a long time, George. Have people's attitudes towards the blue pill, has it changed over the many years that you've been practicing as a urologist?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I'm the only one here because I guess probably...
Who else do you want me to call?
To talk about the blue diamond, right? I'm the only one who can talk about it. Well, actually, it makes me feel a bit sad that it's 20 years. Can you imagine 20 years? Do you remember when it came out?
No, I can't.
You can't remember. No. That's way before your time.
I wasn't interested as well.
Well, 1998, do you remember what else happened in 1998?
I was married for a year.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
All right, actually...
Stock markets crashed, I know.
Yeah, okay.
1997.
Bill Clinton was impeached over the Lewinsky business.
Okay.
I'm sure it's nothing to do with the blue pill.
No. well, if the Me Too campaign was happening then...
That's right.
Don't you think it would have been a very different case?
Yeah. I mean... Right. Uma was talking a little bit about movies in the days when, gender sensitivity wasn't particularly in the limelight.
Yeah.
And then hence a lot of things that if you watch back all these movies from those days and then a lot of kind of like sexual innuendos, the flirtations and then really very much perceived as a harassment these days.
Yeah, I mean, not just movies. What about the advertisements?
That's right.
Look at the old calendars. Advertisements in Malaysia.
That's right.
Were very wrong.
Yes, very wrong. Very wrong back in the days.
Yeah.
And indeed, we talked about how Clinton kind of got away with it. And these days, well, we have another president who kind of got away with many things, right?
Yes.
And so time has changed. And I'm glad you asked that question, that what has changed in the last 20
attitudes.
Years?
Attitudes. Has it changed?
So I particularly want to get the Klang Valley listeners to get involved to say 20 years down the line, were there many fears that people have? There are quite a few issues that when this came out. First of all, there were that fear of sudden death, people taking it, suddenly you're going to drop dead because you haven't had sex for a long time and suddenly take this blue pill, it's going to happen. And of course, that fear of promiscuity. Indeed, people were worried about suddenly the old boys started taking this and chasing after the young girls. And then what sort of society would that create? Mm-hmm. Another big issues. And medically, to talk about to take a pill for sex, is that ethical? Is that not ethical? Is that acceptable in your relationship? So I think that will be another issues that I would like to involve people who are listening today to talk about this as a conversation. Are we 20 years down the line, are we accepting that one pill to solve that problem will be okay? And also, many times I get issues about people asking, say, why are all researchers only done for men? Mm-hmm. Is this a chauvinistic world that it's all about men's manhood and nothing else, and then don't really put a lot of neglect on women? So all these issues, I'm sure that will stimulate a lot of conversation.
Yeah.
20 years after the blue diamond.
So we're going to discuss 20 years of the blue pill, the developments and where it is today, the ethics behind it. If you have a question for us, give us a call. The number is 03-77-109,000. You can tweet BFM Radio or you can SMS, text us on 018-789-8899. So you were talking just now about the ethics of it, George.
That's right.
But the blue pill, I mean, just to go back in history again, just for those who are not, probably...
Not born then.
No, not only just not born, some of us missed out on the fact that the blue pill was an accidental finding.
Correct, yeah.
It was supposed to be for...
High
blood pressure.
That's right.
And then it was a failure. It was considered a failure. And then they realized that there could have been another application for this and hence... The blue pill.
That's right.
And there's no turning back.
There's no turning back. It changed a lot of things. In 1998, there's a small research lab in Kent in England called Sandwich. And then they discovered this group of medication called PDE5 inhibitors. Mm-hmm. Essentially, if you look at this compound, it's a very simple compound. If you imagine that there is a muscle relaxant in our body, so we will have contraction, relaxant, and then that relaxant is being inhibited to sustain that relaxation. So imagine that it is a vessel that is being opened then the drugs will continuously stimulate that opening of the vessel. So it sounds like a wonderful idea for blood pressure medication, because you don't want the resistance in your heart and also the blood vessels to persist. So you take this medication and then you get that persistent relaxations of the vessels to enhance perfusion. So it's been trialed in Wales. And in Wales, so in the typical trial, you have a group of placebo and you have a group of the real medications. Mm-hmm. So typically, a man above 50 will have blood pressure. And then so these medications were given to both men and women, both in the placebo and the real drugs. About 6 months after the initial trial, then the compound at that time didn't even have a name. It's called UK92814. And then at that time, they said, okay, the blood pressure never changed, so we'd like to take back the medication. Guess what? The ones who had the real deal really did not want to return the medications.
Because they were experiencing something called priapism.
Priapism is persistent erection. That is something that's not desirable. It can be quite painful and is in a medical emergency.
Really?
That's right. So Priapus is the Greek god of fertility. And then so it's like, you know, he has an organ that is standing all the time. So when a priapism occurs, it's a condition where it's persistent erection. And in fact, one of the side effects we worried about when it comes to the blue pill was priapism, and never really was an issue.
Okay. So going back to the study and the men who didn't want to return.
So the wives kept the medication because suddenly the dragons were awakened. Well, for years and years, they probably were a little bit compromised between the sheets, and then suddenly they were awakened, and that's the birth of the blue pill.
All right. So it was a relationship enhancer, would you say?
Well, this is what we want to talk about, because we're going to invite a lot of conversation. Is this a relationship enhancer, or is this purely a lazy way of a man not really working on a relationship and just pop the pill and get it over and get the sexual act, in progress.
Okay.
So what do you think, Mira? It's like, you know, do you think, because, you know, we're going to invite a lot of conversations. Yeah. Like, you know, in certain relationship, I mean, because I deal with issues like this every single day in my clinic. In certain relationship, they feel like this is something that transformed their bedroom matters. You know, essentially a pill that can calm the men down. They don't have to be so stressed. And then something that will actually both benefit from that enjoyment of that intimacy is something that is God's gift.
But relationships extend even outside the bedroom.
Indeed. George. This is it.
So I know, I don't think it's a relationship enhancer. It helps with a certain aspect of the relationship, but it's not going to save a relationship if it is in trouble.
Yeah, but sometimes people will argue the other way around. So if that intimacy is sustained, then the bond between the relationship enhances. So it's a catch-22 situation.
Okay, I don't know.
They don't know.
I really don't know.
You should see Mira's face, guys. You know, she's kind of like roll her eyes and said, yeah, right.
What are some of the misconceptions about the blue pill?
Okay, right, okay. So for those of you who think, there's certain side effects, there's certain things, first of all, you need to know about the blue pill. If you take it and do nothing, let's say you take it and watch football or read a normal book and you expect something's going to wake up downstairs, you can forget it, because it doesn't work unless there is some degree of stimulation. Mm-hmm. So yes, the pill works, but it has to work with stimulation. And it's a good drug because it actually sustains. There are about four other products of 5-PDE5 inhibitors in the market now. There's Sildenafil, Vardenafil, Tadalafil and Eudanafil in Malaysia market. And all of them work equally well to 70 to 80% success rate.
What is success?
Success is able to achieve the rigidity and sustain that rigidity. So basically, the finish the business.
Mm. Ah, that is not success. Priapism, because that is an emergency.
That is extreme success.
And it could be detrimental to your health.
Well, actually, if it goes beyond 6 hours, the whole thing will fall off.
Really, John?
That's right. Because the blood will go in and wouldn't come out. The whole thing will go black and fall off.
I didn't know that.
See? So that's another kind of like a myth that you need to know about. So prolonged erection is a bad, bad thing. It's a medical emergency.
Atrophy.
Eventually it will lead to atrophy, so it will be pretty useless afterwards.
My goodness.
6 hours, guys.
That's
maximum.
Okay, so now...
No, there are some more
misconceptions. Sorry about that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, some people think that, you know, taking it, you actually see blue because the pill is blue. Actually, it is true. It's not a misconception because it stimulates certain part of your retina, actually cause some blurring of vision. So that's true. And then, you know, can it be taken an alcohol and fatty food? It actually doesn't work so well when you take your alcohol and fatty food. So that's it. And is there any risk of sudden death? No, there isn't, unless you take it together with a medication called nitrites, which is, you know, the tablets that you take in order to counteract angina. So there is really, you know, the issues about initially people thought, you know, something like a sudden death, like, you know, what happened to Bruce Lee, what happened. You know, 20 years down the line, we already proved that it's not the case.
Okay. We have Jonathan on the line. Jonathan, can we refer to this pill as the blue pill, please, without mentioning any names?
Okay. All right.
Go ahead, Jonathan.
Good afternoon.
Hi, afternoon. Good afternoon, Jonathan. Happy Chop Go, man.
Hi. Thank you. Yeah. So my question is, what are the dangers of, I'm a relatively younger guy, in my late 20s. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any sort of sexual performance issues. I'm just wondering what are the dangers of using the blue pill, just for the fun of it, or just to explore, experiment, or spice things up in the bedroom, kind of.
Sure. So for recreational purposes. Yeah, all right. Thank you very much, Jonathan. For all of you calling, just refer to it as the blue pill, and we'll be happy to answer
indeed.
Your question.
That's right.
Okay. So I think it's timely because what I was going to move into is in Britain and what's happening there, because soon Britain will be the first country in the world where the blue pill will be it can be bought without prescription. And so without the embarrassment of having to go to a doctor to ask or, you know, for this advice. But as a result, what they're finding is more and more younger men seem to be taking the blue pill.
That's right.
Now, what's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, and let's just address Jonathan's questions first, as to whether there are dangers, and then we'll come into whether these young men are perhaps under pressure to do it, right?
That's right, okay. So if you actually, Jonathan asked a fantastic question, because subconsciously that was already happening in the background, that, you know, younger men who really don't have any, sexual performance issues actually started taking the medication. If you look at the original trial, there is no enhancement of rigidity, because when it's hard, it's hard. You know, you can't be extra hard and then or extra, extra hard. However, there may be placebo effect for someone in Jonathan's situation who is in his 20s taking this medication, and then they will feel like it's easier, they get easier stimulation in order to achieve that. So the time in order to achieve that hardness is probably effortless. And then so they just need a little bit of naughty thoughts, and then suddenly Jonathan is ready and go. And then so that sensation is great. However, we have to bear in mind that, you know, we are, like Mira always tells us, we're the fattest nations in the whole Southeast Asia. Statistics tell us that although someone in Jonathan may not know he said, look, I have no sexual dysfunction. However, he may be harboring diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and all these are predisposing factors for erectile dysfunction. So he may encounter something called suboptimal erection. But when he really takes the medication, he realizes that, oh, this was how it used to be when I was 21. So that, under those circumstances, it really does happen. And when you said that, you know, when men are under pressure, the typical men who are under pressure are the one who is supposed to produce a baby. Like, you know, right, they say, okay, the timing is right. I heard your shows with Dr. Helena.
Yes, you didn't call
us. No, I didn't. I was too embarrassed to call. Otherwise, you would say that I am stalking you.
No, you always do anyway.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Okay, right. I was about to call, and then I thought, maybe not. So the great things about the medication like that is that when guys are under pressure to say, like, okay, look, I'm ovulating, you've got 1 hour, take down your pants, and then, you know, let's produce some baby. I think anybody will find it difficult in order to achieve the right rigidity under those circumstances. And then sometimes I do prescribe men those sort of the blue pill in circumstances that I feel that even the psychological or stress-related erectile issues, I think a little bit of this will help. And eventually, they don't need to be on it forever. So technically, they are not patients with erectile dysfunction. They are just performance anxiety.
Okay. And as Paul J. said in one of our events, your biggest sex organ is actually your brain.
Mm.
So
that's why Paul J. has got big brain. I think he's going to call in, right?
Well, if he's stalking us, perhaps. But, you know, it makes a whole lot of sense, isn't it?
Well, indeed. That's right.
As you said, psychologically, it helps. But we'll come back. I have a lot more questions about the younger man and why the UK seems to be seeing also quite a number of younger men using this blue pill.
And especially the danger part, which I'm going to answer later.
That's right. We'll come back and find out more. We're discussing 20 years of the blue pill or sildenafil. You mentioned there are many other names.
There are four typical ones. One is sildenafil, and then there is a tadalafil, and then verdanafil, and eudanafil.
Okay.
All the danafils, and then make men quite happy.
Oh, my goodness. You can name your children after all of this. Okay, we'll come back and find out more up next. If you have a question for Dr. George Lee about the blue pill, give us a call, please. The number is 03-77-109-1000. You can tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Siviso, the Dr. George Lee consultant urologist. In the studio with me, we are discussing 20 years of the blue pill. Four names.
Creating big front men.
Yes.
Oh, I just thought that how appropriate.
I know, terribly appropriate, George. Okay, so we had Jonathan, who called in just now, who had questions. He's young. He's in his late 20s. And Jonathan did say he wanted to know what were the risks of taking the blue pill at his age for perhaps just enjoyment or recreational purposes. The reason I wanted to ask you about the British men, George, is because in September last year, official figures in Britain show a huge rise in the number of British men turning up at A&E with priapism. They found that, you know, that this has increased because 51%, it did a 51% increase compared to the previous decade. And they found that these men were taking the blue pill with other illegal drugs. Mm. So you were saying you did speak about, you know, using, what about alcohol?
That's right.
In combination with the blue pill. What are some of the dangers of that?
Okay, let's talk about taking the blue pill on its own. So if somebody takes it, and if you do encounter side effects, which is probably less than 10%, you might get headache, you might get blurred vision, and you might get indigestions, and all these are very typical of the PDE5 inhibitor side effects, and they're quite short-lived, they're very transient, and most people don't get it after a few doses. So if you actually take alcohol, fatty food, the effectiveness of the medication is suppressed. So that's not really technically going to be any danger. However, if you actually take it with cocaine or the marijuana, or take it even with amphetamines, and all these other medications perhaps will exacerbate the effect of the blue pill and then get the blood circulation into the organ and actually not returning. And that's when you get priapism. So technically, if you take it normally, which is 1 hour prior to intimacy, you shouldn't have any problems like that. However, that's a reason why we tend to advise patients to see a doctor prior to starting the medication. However, like you said, UK is the first country that make it easy as going to buy Panadols or buying paracetamols. So is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? I'm not sure.
Well, it gets rid of the embarrassment of coming to see somebody like you.
Yes. Well, the issue really is, you know, you just need to, in the old days, right, and then when they're counterfeits, early on you asked me about counterfeits. I mean, this was the most counterfeited drug in the last 2 decades.
Mm-hmm. Do we have numbers for Malaysia? Because it's impotence drugs used to account for 90% of all captured counterfeit pills in the UK.
Yes.
It's 90%.
That's right. Okay. I mean, there were some statistics to show that every second, when the blue pill was celebrating the 10th anniversary, every second 35 tablets or something were dispensed, and every one tablet there's another 9 tablets that are illegally distributed. Mm-hmm. So you can say that they are counterfeit. And the data showed something like a third of them are the genuine stuff. And then a third of them are the genuine stuff with varied dosage. So imagine that you might get double, triple, or quadruple the dose. It's so awfully dangerous.
I think Singapore had some cases where things went terribly wrong.
Yeah, Singapore had cases that they were mixed with the anti-diabetic medications.
Yes. So and they passed, the people died.
The people died because of that. And then so Singapore obviously punished those perpetrators very, very seriously. And then if you were lucky or unlucky, you might just be getting Smarties, really. So sometimes they just sell you placebos without any active ingredients of sildenafil inside.
Okay, all right. We have a question from someone. I'll take all of you as anonymous for this show.
Your friend.
My friend via WhatsApp is asking, how fast does the blue pill come into effect?
Right, okay. So the fastest is about 15 minutes. The longest is about an hour. So, you know, if you actually work in a region of about 40 to 45 minutes, this is roughly what it is. So you need to do a bit of planning.
Okay, all right. Robert, you have a question.
Hi, Robert.
Yeah, hello. Good afternoon, Dr. George.
Yeah, happy job, Gome.
Does the blue pill help in overcoming premature ejaculation?
All right, great question.
Thank you very much.
That's
Robert.
Right. Okay, right. Blue pill does not impact on the interval of ejaculation. So before a medication called duloxetine came out, and then so doctors were just prescribing men the blue pill in order to solve any form of sexual dysfunction because we had nothing else. So if you come in and say, look, I'm not so good in the bedroom, so doctors will find it a little bit embarrassed to ask you whether it's your libido problem, your rigidity problem, or interval ejaculation or climatic problem, and you just kind of like take the pills and see. And then majority of them will have a very rigid penis, however, they will not have any impact on the premature ejaculation. So the answer is no, it doesn't help with that.
Okay.
Well, some other myths that it helps with, you know, some people, if you hear that blue pill, it helps with altitude sickness, and it does.
No kidding me.
That's right.
It does?
No, yeah, it is licensed for pulmonary hypertension. So basically it enhances the circulations of the lung. So people take it in when they go climbing, Mount Everest in order to help them with altitude sickness. And that is, and a lot of the Royal Air Force in the UK, the jet fighters, they actually take it in order to, counteract certain, altitude sickness.
Okay.
Yeah. And then so it's licensed for a condition that suffers from pediatrics populations of pulmonary hypertension.
So it depends on the dosages then. Obviously, for altitude sickness, it's a different dose.
It's almost the same dose.
No.
So you can fly high.
Okay,
right. Moving on.
Questions, but, I don't know how to ask you.
Okay, right.
But what are you treated for altitude sickness and then it's also giving you an erection?
Then you just fly happy.
Okay. George, seriously.
No. Without the stimulations up in the air or in altitude, nothing will happen downstairs.
Oh, yes, you did say stimulation is important.
That's correct.
Without it,
it's not going to work.
Of course, yes. I forgot about that.
Okay,
so after 20 years of this blue pill, since it was approved, is it then, would you say it's a lifestyle drug for young people? And now that it's going to be available over the counter in the UK, what's going to happen?
Well, this is when I really want the Klang Valley to join the conversation. This is, I'm the one who help men and couples to resolve this problem. I will say it's not lifestyle, it's medical. However, I'm quite
sure... If there's a problem.
But the thing
saying,
is that...
what about these young
that
people?
That problem is difficult to establish. So does that mean that somebody who is young, who is Jonathan's situation, who kind of like comes in and says, look, you know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. Can I have the pill? And then I will say, no, you can't, because that will define his lifestyle. The other thing which I'm going to create a lot of controversy here, because we get a situation, we get a scenario called situational erectile dysfunction. So you can imagine 20, 30 years of getting married, you know, and, you know, it's probably not as exciting as how it was when you first get married. So when men come to see me and say, look, you know, I occasionally may have... other partner and it's not a problem, but I'm with a regular partner, it's a problem. So can you help? Is that recreational or is that substitutional? Is that right? Is that wrong? You see, I've opened a can of worms now. People is going to call in and say, of course that's okay. And other people are going to say, of course that's not okay.
Yeah. So what do you think?
What do you think?
The number is 0377-109,000. But what are the dangers of having it available over the counter, George? But before that, we have Victor on the line. Victor, you have a question.
Victor, 元宵快乐.
Happy Chapgome, Dr. George.
Yeah, 元宵节快乐. Yeah.
Happy Chapgome.
Yes. Okay, I have a question for Dr. George.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Does the fact that you require to take blue pill disguise something actually even more serious, because the Chinese believe that the sexual ability has something to do with kidney.
Yes.
So does it mean that maybe you have kidney problems, that's why you cannot get it up?
Okay.
So that's why you need blue pill. Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Victor. And that's my question as well.
Yes.
Will the blue pill mask other conditions?
Well,
if you take it recreationally, will it then mask other issues?
Indeed. Well, the other issues people always ask me is that if you take too much blue pills, will it also damage your kidney?
That's the other way around as well.
That's right. Okay.
So
that's right. It's a double-edged sword, right?
Yes,
okay.
It is.
Right. Okay. Let's deal with Victor's kind of like Victor is a very wise man. If you listen to Evening Edition, Victor always call in, and then of course Victor is right. You know, there's a Chinese belief that the Chinese belief in a lot of things originate from your kidneys. So if nothing is working well, it's because your kidneys are a bit weak, right? You know.
Is that why you're a Chinese? And it's a very good habit. Drink tons of water.
That's right. In order to replenish that, kidney function.
To cleanse.
So it's a cleanse.
Yeah.
And then so, and also Chinese believe that you only allow certain number of quota, right, in your life. And that quota of sexual activities is like, if you pass that quota, then your kidney is going to go off.
Because, what do you mean?
Like, your energy all is restored in your kidneys. So in your lifetime, your X number of sexual activity that you're encounter, anything you do too much of that, you use up your quota and then your kidneys is going to go bad.
So what they're saying is your sexual function also rests with the kidney.
That's correct. Yeah.
But
in reality,
in
Western belief, there's no such thing because the kidney function, people with got renal failure may have erectile dysfunction, but majority of people, they are the four things, the high cholesterol, high blood pressure, the smoking, and also the
diabetes
that actually kill your nerves and also kill their blood supplies. Of course, there's some degree of concern that younger men turning up, they don't see doctors, we miss that opportunity to screen for the problems, which is the tip of the iceberg. Victor is absolutely right. And in UK, initially we see this group of people who turn up with priapism. However, we also will see a generations of people that we miss the opportunity to screen them for the issues that will cause them other issues, such as heart disease and also kidney problems.
So it could mask some of those.
Correct.
And then you don't sort of... address it. But then again, if it is readily available, do you think more men would be referred to for cardiovascular diabetes and other checks as well? I mean, is there any way in which men who take it, it will cause you to screen, or there will be a need to screen?
This was what there was a drive about 5-6 years ago that we identify suboptimal erection as a prerequisite for cardiac conditions. Mm-hmm. So a group of younger men who, if they present early, and then there is a Princeton consensus that is recommended by all societies that this group of young men needs to be investigated for their cardiac risk.
Okay, and we might miss more people if everybody's taking the blue pill, isn't
over the counters.
Yeah, exactly.
If they take it by over the counters.
Oh, yeah. Over the counter, yeah, of course. It's, when do you think that will come to Malaysia, or is it
eventually
coming?
Yes. Eventually. Well, technically it is anyway, because you know, you just need to switch on your laptop and then your email, and then you know, all these people are offering it left, right and centre to
send
it.
Yeah, but that's not very safe, is it, George?
It is not very safe. In some way, this is a way to regulate it in the over-the-counter.
Okay, we're talking about 20 years of the blue pill in Britain. It will soon be available over-the-counter, so you don't have to get a prescription for it. We're talking about how younger men now seem to be wanting the blue pill for recreational purposes, perhaps. But are they under pressure to do this? We did go through some factors. But one of the factors I'd like to ask George when I come back is this whole idea of the Me Too movement. It now continues. It's there. The objective is that women should no longer feel under pressure from men to behave in a certain way, especially when it comes to sex. So is this, in a way, pressure on the man to have to perform a certain way and hence the younger man needing a pill? I don't know. It's a conversation we can have up next. Give us a call. The number is 03-77-109-000. Tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasodhi, Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist, joining me this Doctor in the House series. That was our promo for our Health and Living live event, George, on the 7th of April. And you and I are going to be co-moderating a session.
Yes.
And it is titled The Future of Intimacy.
Right.
And where in the digital age.
Yes.
And where digital will take us as far as intimacy is concerned. Are you looking forward to it?
I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm afraid because I have to moderate it. But come and join us. It's if you log on to bfm.my/healthevent, the program is there. And come and join us, please.
It will be early April.
It will be 7th of April. Mm-hmm. It's a Saturday at Nexus Bangsa South.
Yes.
So join us then. And, you know, well, before we go to the Me Too movement, George, very quickly, while we were talking about digital just now, mobile phones now. Everyone has a mobile phone. Mm-hmm. And men and women seem to be very attached to their mobile phones. But as a result, people are also addicted to pornography.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so easy to
accessible.
Exactly. You don't have to go to a desktop anymore. And it is an increasing problem. Now, one study in the US published last year showed that men who regularly watched porn were more likely to suffer from impotence. I mean, mm-hmm. is that true?
Well, the kind of like a suggested reason behind that is perhaps excessive use of you know, sexual organ or masturbations actually is causing the erectile dysfunction. But it's very difficult to quantify that. I generally think that when certain people have, let's say they watch pornographic material and then had certain, assume that whatever they're watching is a norm. You know, for example, you know, the interval between intercourse and also that sort of like, you know, certain sexual act is normal. But in reality, that's not. And then so whenever they feel like they are not achieving what is stipulated on pornographic material, they assume they have got erectile dysfunction and actually seek help.
And that's unnecessary pressure as well.
Correct. So in many ways, it's a psychological, and also a lot of time men probably get desensitized with a lot of stimulation. And the reality is that obviously, like you said, the bigger sex organ is the brain. Whenever it is only visual stimulations, you don't use up all your sensory organs. Whenever you try to use it, you are not achieving that. So communication and sexual intimacy between couples with you know, who communicate openly actually obviously is a much better, the real thing.
Hence, I said, George, it extends beyond the bedroom.
That's right.
So this whole relationship enhancer thing.
So that's why many people feel very, the whole idea of one pill that actually can achieve sexual satisfaction is wrong, because there's so many aspects of intimacy, because the true aspects of intimacy is love and relationship, affection. And then when you have a pill that can bypass that, it's really a recipe for disaster. Mm-hmm. And that was how it was viewed way back in 1998 when it was first introduced.
Yep.
So I'm curious to think what most people would think, like 20 years down the line, is are we less critical of such practice because that pill, that bullet tablets can solve everything, why not? But, you know, if a relationship encounter problems, and then the true way to solve it is to
sit down and resolve
the problems.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that at the event as well. Intimacy, the disconnect between the digital world and the real world,
mm-hmm.
and where that will take us going forward.
Right.
So I spoke about the Me Too movement, how it has toppled very prominent male figures who have misbehaved, and women
allegedly.
And women are more empowered, and there seems to be a sense, and I could be wrong, whether men are under pressure now to perform a certain way when it comes to sexual acts.
So, advancement.
Exactly. So do you think younger men are needing the pill more and more because of that as well?
I don't know.
I'm just thinking.
Well, I think since this hashtag movement, it actually changed a lot of it bring to consciousness about how men should behave. I think the old way of thinking that, it was only flirtation, you probably can't get away with, excuses like that. So where do you draw the line? It's a very difficult decision. You know, when does a flirtation cross the line and become sexual harassment? It becomes an issue. So when it comes to my line of work, you know, I obviously deal with a lot more male sexual dysfunction. And many people ask me this question, like, why isn't woman sexual health part of the issues that you resolve? Because it takes two, because men have sexual dysfunction, women have sexual dysfunction. And I try to justify to say that it is difficult because a lot of male sexual dysfunction are measurable parameters. Like, for example, the time, the interval for ejaculation, the rigidities, and all these are measurable. And for women, it's not easily measurable.
Then why is it that we have so many contraceptives for women and we're not making much headway with contraceptives for men?
That's right. Okay, sure. That's a very simple answer for it. Because
for
we need
this
to
enhancer, you are number one.
We need to suppress. Again, you should see mirrors, right? It says rolling your eyes and say, look, a woman takes on all the responsibilities, but now suppress with, not allowed to have, more advancement in the fun.
Yeah, the more fun part, the less fun part we always have to bear with it. Yeah.
Well, it's an...
So 20 years of the blue pill, has it benefited the woman in any way?
I hope so.
I don't know. Well,
because, I'm generally... Well, if you look at a lot of the studies, the data actually shows that the partner satisfaction is significantly improved. But eventually, it's how you ask the question, isn't it? However, I really would like to see more research done on women's sexual health. But that always is a difficult area for people to venture into because... number one, it's less measurable parameters. And number two is that it's always a very sensitive area to venture into. You know, we talked about the female Viagra that came out, they call it the pink Viagra. But it actually faced a lot of obstacles because, like the initial, the blue pill, it has a lot of headwind, a lot of objections about how this perceive woman's sexuality. And I really think those are the issues that needs to be resolved.
If you go down to a scientific level, did the female Viagra work?
Marginally. So it's
so not the best pill.
Not the best pill. It's not kind of like the success story as the blue pill in 1998. However, it is only working marginally. I guess that's one of the reasons why it really never took off.
All right. Very quickly, George, we have a question from someone. Does the blue pill have side effects if you're taking it with Chinese herbs?
Well, it depends on what that Chinese herbs is. However, majority of Chinese herbs will, well, the Chinese will quite make it a bit heaty, right? It basically just give you flushiness and give it a bit angin, right? Okay, so this will add more angin to it. So if you get a little bit of flushness, the blue pill will add more to it. So in a way, it's not dangerous adversity. However, it will make you feel a bit uncomfortable.
Okay. Last question here from Kevin. He's asking, does the blue pill help or does it hurt the quality and quantity of the sperm?
Well, there are some studies initially to show that constant use of it actually suppress the spermatogenesis. However, that was later on disputed, and then to show that the spermatogenesis in long term and also in the regular dosage doesn't really get affected.
Okay. Your message, George, on the blue pill after 20 years?
I think after 20 years, it changed a lot of how we perceive and also bring down taboo about sexual health. However, what I really want to see is, like, 20 years from today, then we discuss both aspects of love, which is, you know, both female and male, and then we'll work a lot more on the brain, the bigger sexual organ.
Exactly. Thank you very much for joining us today. Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist, speaking to us about 20 years of the blue pill on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.